some meals at different families. Okay, so I just want to talk about something else that came up before Shir, which is the, I think I've discussed this different times, but the importance of Chavrusas be'ian, okay, for Ian Chavrusas, okay? So the question is I guess the value of, like the assumption, okay, let's start the premise. The premise is that it's important to learn how to learn Gemara, how to learn through a sugya. There's a value to Talmud Torah to learn how to learn on your own. Okay? Because why is that a value? Let me start with that. Okay, so simple answer is you won't always be in yeshiva. Right? And when you're in yeshiva, it's not, you don't have to learn on your own because you have a rabbi, you have shiurim, you have a Pesach shiur, or a Sinran shiur, rabbi shiur, you have my shiur, you have various shiurim. But, you know, when you go out into the world in a job, it's likely, obviously different people have different schedules, but it's likely that you're not going to have such good fortune to be able to have access to a regular shiur. But that doesn't mean you're not going to be able to learn Torah, chas v'shalom, right? Be able to learn at nights, before work, after work, on the weekends, all right? So you're going to be able to learn. But the question is in order to learn, you have to know how to learn, right? It's not so easy to just learn how to learn and to just be able to do it. And if you're not good at it and you don't know how to do it, you're not going to be able to do it, right? So the question is, how do you learn how to do it? So one might suggest the way you do it is you go to shir for X number of years. You go to shir, you go to Rav Pesach shir, you go to my shir, you go to Dr. Kapel's shir, you go to whatever shirim you have access to. And try to teach you the derech, teach you how to learn, try to analyze how to work through a sugya, right? And this way, you internalize, you watch the Rebbe, you think about what the Rebbe's doing, the whole process, right? You do it, you really give it your all, you really spy on the Rebbe, try to figure out the method which he's using and how to take a, analyze a Gemara step by step, and you do all that. And this way, you learn how to learn, right? Now the question is that sufficient? Okay, will you, by doing so, will you acquire the skill of learning how to learn such that when you finish, when you get married, when you get a job, when you whatever, now you want to go out and start, you're going to, you know, have a chavrusa at night after work, that you'll be well equipped to be able to learn how to learn, or be able to learn on your own independently, or not, right? Or obviously, that depends on the person, but in general, Is it also important, and if so, why, to have a chavrusa, an Ian chavrusa at this stage of the game? Or is that for the later stage of the game? You know, when right now you have the fortune of having a shir, so you don't need to have an Ian chavrusa, you have a shir. You know, when you graduate, so to speak, from yeshiva, then you won't have a shir. Well, then you'll have an Ian chavrusa. Right? That's the question. Or do you say, no, it's important to currently, now, while you're still in yeshiva, before you graduate, to have an yechidusa, right? That's the question. You could say, why wait? So you could say, look, I'll tell you why wait. You say, look, obviously, I would think it's obvious, but who knows? But in general, the quality of your learning will be higher with your Rebbe than on your own with your chavrusa, because you're being guided by someone who has more experience in learning than yourselves. And therefore, the quality of ideas which you're going to be exposed to is going to be at a much higher level. So the nature of your involvement in learning is greater. You, after all, you have X hours in the day. So you have shiur. Let's say you go to two different shiurim where you're learning from your rabbeim how to do it. Then you want to, let's say, have a bikiya seder. Then you want to have your schoolwork. And then you want to do chumash chumash. Or you want to do hashkafa. Then you want to do, I don't know, whatever else you want to do. There's a lot of things, in there, right? A lot of things to do. So you might say, look, why wait? If I have no time, I have time. Yeah, there's a balance of things to do. That's my point. Not that the question is it important to carve out of your schedule time to do it, or do you say, look, I already have so many hours a day or whatever blocked out for Ian, so what do I need to have another thing? I mean, there's a lot of other things I want to learn, right? So is that if you'll say that roughly I'll learn how to learn by doing shir, and then when I graduate I'll be able to, you know, just pick off where I left off, then you'll say maybe it's not necessary to block out into my schedule further time for learning bein.
But if you say that it's important to learn how to learn, to be active in it now, well, then you'll say, if your goal is, if one of your major goals is being able to set up a life of Talmud Torah, which demands proficiency in doing so, and you're not going to be that proficient, or your proficiency will be lacking if you don't have a chavrusa doing it now, well, then that becomes of vital importance to set up a chavrusa like that into your schedule now. If not, then whatever, you'll do it later. Right? So I think that's the way you might look at it. You might look at it as like a, you know, it's important when I need it. But when I don't need it, it's not that important. Right? So I'll just do it then. The question is, what's the value? What is the, if at all, is there and what is the value to, or the importance of having a chavrusa in Ian now? To the question is, look, when you go to a shir, you, let's say you go to a Pesach shir in the morning, you spend a few hours before shir, prior to shir, prepping for shir. So you have a interaction, chavrusa learning then, right? But yeah, so should that be sufficient to add that to the mix? So you're right, I'm saying there's two questions, I guess. You could say, look, if you don't prepare ever for shir, you just go to shir. What I'm saying is, but let's say you have 2 hours of Seder in the morning where you're paired with your chavrusa, and then you go to shir. So look, you have chavrusa learning, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so a lot of things that is good. One thing I think it boils down to, although something Josh mentioned, is that is the process or skill of learning for a shir and learning in a shir the same as the process of learning on your own, right? Is it the same exact activity, skill set, process, right? If it is, then you'll say you don't need to also learn on your own because you're already doing that. You're already building up that skill set. You're already doing that all day in your shiurim, and you're prepping for shiurim. But if you say that the activity, the nature of the activity of learning on your own is different, albeit it has similarities and certain aspects of it overlap, but there's large differences between that, then arguably you'll say is like, now is your time where you're setting yourself up, you're learning how to learn, you're building up your skills, your learning skills, and you have the time and energy when you're in yeshiva to do that. Now, you might be working on your skill to be able to be a good Talmud in a shir, but are you working on your skill to be able to be a good learner with a chavrusa? And if it's a different skill set, if it's a different type of learning, different type of azaskas, then there's no reason to think just because you're very good at being a Talmud in shir means that you're going to be very good at being a chavrusa without a shir, right? If, in fact, they're different, right? But it seems to boil down to that question, right? Now, once you boil it down to that question, right, are you finally see that? Before you answer that question. But that's what I think what the question comes down to, right? Is it basically the same thing? In which case, you don't necessarily need to do it now. It's just you'll do it later. You're building up those skills now, and then later you'll do it on your own. Or do you say it's a different type of skill set, a different type of a process? In which case, it's while going to shir might prep you to be able to do that, if it is also a different type of a process, you may want to practice, develop, learn that, you know, and maybe go to the shir and then learn something and then go on your own and then, right? Right. Okay, so I think it is different. I mean, while there are many similarities, there are also significant differences. And there are a lot of, you know, it's harder. Let's just say that. It's much harder. There are a lot of things you learn from shir that set you up and enable you to be able to do that on your own. But at the same time, being a good Talmud in the shir doesn't mean being a good Lamdan with a chavrusa. It's not, there is a bit give and take. So, I was talking this afternoon, I was talking this over with Rabbi Zimmer, somehow it came up. We thought of a mashal of like, I don't know, this talks to us because we play tennis, but I assume you could take it for any skill that you want to apply it to. But like if a person wants to learn how to play tennis, let's say you go to tennis lessons. And you have an instructor who teaches you how to play tennis. So they show you, they hit like 100 balls to your forehand, and you try to keep hitting them all back, and then they hit 100 to your backhand, and then you try to hit them all back, and then, right, whatever it is. Right, they train you, and they teach you your thing should be this, it should be like that, it should be, you know. Exactly, they give you training exactly what you're supposed to do. But if a person only goes to lessons all the time, they're not going to be a good tennis player. Because it's like the setting of an instructor, they'll like hit the ball right to where you need it to go a bunch of times or whatever. It's like a very controlled type of a setting. But when you play a game,
there's a lot of different types of shots. You're on the run, you're this, you're that. It's like, it's there's a lot more things which could take place in the context of a real game than the controlled environment where the instructor is directing you towards whatever shots it is. And what you do is, and I haven't really taken lessons that much, but Rabbi Zimmer has, and he told me, it's like he often would do, whenever he'd take a lesson, he'd want to play that week, play a game with his friend or whatever, and then practice those skills, and then go back to the instructor the next week and see if he could, what was working, what wasn't working. But he feels like almost like the lesson doesn't teach you that much if you don't follow it up with trying to internalize it, incorporate it on your own. It's easy to do it while the instructor is there telling you, you know, it a little more like this, a little more like that. Now, what about in the context of when the instructor's not there, and now you have to kind of work it out on your own? So enough with the mashal, but I think in the nimshal is that when you, there's a lot which goes into a shir, a lot that the Rebbe does in a shir, which is, in a certain sense, spoon-feeding you. Even a Rebbe who does demand of you to do that work on your own, there's a lot of background work, which you might be very good at giving a svara when the Rebbe sets up the problems, asks the questions, you know? And even if the Rebbe asks you to ask questions, but then he says, oh yeah, that's a good question, that's not a good question, that's a good question, and then he gives a svara, and then he has a question on you, and whatever, there's like a lot of guidance involved in that process. And if you're very good at getting the svara and shir, it's very good. And you might feel confident in your ability to give a good svara. But now the question is, now you have to open up a Gemara and try to just start from the Mishnah and what do we do? How far do I read? When do I stop? When do I start? Is this a good definition? Is this a good approach? How do I know how to proceed? What different facts do I need to collect? You know, which question should I take up in what order? So there's like a lot of... is this a good svara? Should we go further? Should we build on that svara? Are we confident enough? Do we have to look further? Should we look at some other Gemara? Should we look at Rishonim? There's like a lot of steps involved in the process. So the Rebbe is trying to, I mean, different Rebbeim do different things, but to focus on directing the shir in the way which they see best for, you know, for the shir, for them, for the shir, for whatever, you know, however they're learning the sugya, and you're kind of coming along for the ride. But the way you're going to learn on your own might be the same as your Rebbe, might be the same as one of your Rebbeim, might be different than both of your Rebbeim, might be some sort of a mix between something one of your Rebbeim does and something a different Rebbe does and something which is your own personal taste and whatever. It's like there's a lot, like learning, you have to be Kona Torah. And Kona Torah means you have to work, you have to figure out, how am I going to learn? And how am I going to learn? I'll take little tidbits from this instructor and that instructor and whatever it is. But you have to learn how to do all the steps involved in the sugya. And you might do it on your own with Tichavrusa now, and you may find that you get stuck. And then you realize, oh, you have a question, then maybe you could realize, 1 second, what did my Rebbe do? And then you could either ask your Rebbe, like you said, you have Rebbe, or you could just realize, this is where we're having a hard time. Let's see what's going on in Shir. What's the Rebbe doing here? How is he doing this? And then you kind of, there's a give and take between your development, you know, as an independent learner, and what you learn from your Rebbe, and you go back and forth and back and forth. I know very often when I learn with Rabbi Zimmer and we go to Rebbe Shir, we've been going, you know, on and off for years, and we're always going back to Rebbe Shir and asking, why do you do this? How do you do this? What's he doing? You know, and like we get stuck and we struggle learning how to learn on our own and kind of always trying to develop and think, you know, questions which come up, and there are issues and there's questions, and we look back and we go to a shir and we start to pick off tidbits from what our Rebbe is doing, and that kind of works in and impacts our own learning. And I feel like if you don't do that and all you do is just go to shir, I think you might find that when you graduate and you go to work and then you just try to learn with Chavrusa, it's just much harder, and you're not really able, you're not so good at it. And again, it's very hard to get good at something when you don't have so much time and so much energy. Like, now's the time. You have time, you have energy, you have a shir, you go back to the Rebbe, you could go to, you know, you have the ability to put everything into learning how to do it. So, you know, that being the case, like, I think that's most more so when it comes to Ian. Bikias, I think you could learn on your own once you're, I don't think you have a problem learning Bikias. I mean, you have to know how to read. That's another thing, learning the skills of knowing how to read. But assuming you know how to read, I think you'll be able to pick that up. You do that, pick that up on your own afterwards. You know, that's not as intense a skill set. Again, on a basic level, you have to learn how to read. But, you know, you could do a lot of B'kias on your own when you graduate. So the problem is if you don't learn how to learn B'in on your own, it's likely you're going to find it very frustrating. And if you find it very frustrating, you're probably going to be less likely to do it. In which case, you know, you may not be preparing yourself adequately for a life of Talmud Torah. That's a good question. So how do you pick an Yitzhak Rusa, right? How do you find the right guy?
That's a good question.
So, you know, it's like, how do you pick a shidduch? You know? But, I mean, I think one thing is important. I think this is important. Is you need a friend. What I mean by a friend is a friend in learning. I think, again, maybe there's different styles, you know, but I think you're trying to, certain chavrusas clash very strongly, and you're busy fighting all the time instead of trying to help each other. Like, a chavrusa is there, you're working together. Of course, it's fine fighting, there's a Macham to Shel Torah, but ultimately, you have to be able to have a dynamic where you're able to, first of all, someone who you'll push each other to learn, because if it's someone who's basically... I mean, I think when you take a chavrusa, you're creating an achrayas. You're setting up a time for the chavrusa, and your chavrusa shouldn't let you just get out of it. Just say, oh, you don't want to learn today? Okay, fine. You're tired? Okay, fine. You have schoolwork? Well, why don't you do schoolwork afterwards? We have a set time. We have a chavrusa. There's a... Find someone who you could work... You work well. You want to be... Look, you have to... With someone you want to be with. If you don't want to be with them, you know, there's resentment. There's, like, emotional factors in it. But then also, someone you could work well with, that I think if there's too much antagonism in a chavrusa, it ends up being like very much fighting and less learning how to learn and learning how to work together. Like, you're trying to work together. You need help. You know, and your chavrusa and you are trying to put your minds together to help each other learn how to learn. And learn how to learn a sugya, but it's also how to learn in general. It's not just a sugya, it's the whole process. Learn how are you going to learn? How are you going to figure out how to do it? So I think you need someone who's, you have a good relationship with, that you're able to, you feel comfortable with, you're able to, I mean, it takes time, obviously, to build that. But, you know, you have to find someone who you could work together with in order to jointly pursue this process of learning how to learn. Yeah. I mean, that's the question, higher or lower level? I don't know, they both could be good. I mean, I think you want your chavrusa to be roughly in the same ballpark as you.
Right.
If it's way off, then you're just going to be, either you're just going to be, I don't know. If he's way low, higher than you, I think it's going to be hard for you to gain from him unless he's a Rebbe, unless he's just teaching you. There's a phenomenon like that, but that's not typically a chavrusa, that's almost like another shir. You know, and if he's way lower than you, then he's not going to help you much. Then you're being the Rebbe. You're not up to the point where you're trying to teach someone else how to learn. You're trying to figure out how to learn on your own.
Yeah.
So I think you want someone who's roughly in the same ballpark where you are both at a similar level and you're trying to work with each other to work through the sugya. You know, it's similar. I mean, the lav dafka, you know, higher or lower. I mean, everyone can have a chavrusa at a higher or a lower level. You know, there's always two people are never going to easily match. But in theory, different people have different skill sets, different perspectives. So I don't know if that's, you know, again, I think it should be close to levels. But, you know, I think all you guys are roughly in the same ballpark, you know. Like, I don't think it's, again, you take a guy who's totally... Not shayach to your level, then it's not going to be, you know. But I don't think it's, I don't know if that's that significant. It's more important someone you work well with, you know. You want to be there. You want to, you know. And I think you have to commit to it because it's hard, you know. Yeah, and I think you have to do it also somewhat frequent. I don't know. Once a week it seems to me like not enough, really. You know. Twice is a very decent 3-4, you know. Just because it's like you spend the whole time catching up to where you're up to. It depends how, like 1 hour a week, it's like you spend the first half hour trying to figure out what you did last week. You're never going to like make any progress. You know, part of learning a sugya is not just one definition. It builds. That's part of the skill set. Again, in a Rebbe, then you're a shir. What you're doing in shir builds from the other thing. You're building a sugya. So that's, you kind of have to, sometimes you might spend the whole hour just getting the facts. Maybe more than that. And then you have to remember next week and you remember facts again, you're never going to get anywhere.
Yeah.
So, you know, it does take a certain amount of time to accomplish this. You're just going to do it in a half-hearted way. You know, like the thing, the 10,000 hours or whatever it is, right? It's like it takes to learn to do these things. You know, maybe you could count in your hours, your time in shiur, but you know, it takes. You know, it takes
a long time. You know, it takes and seriousness about it, devotion. You know, because it doesn't happen. It's like in anything. It's hard to. It takes a long time to learn how to play tennis. It takes a long time to learn how to give svaras. How to learn through a sugya. It's not so simple.
When do you quit and say it's beyond you? I mean, that's part of why you have to do it. That's part of why you have to do it. You have to learn that on your own. There's no set rule. Mm-hmm. But I mean, yeah, I mean, certain problems are too hard for you. And you're not getting anywhere. You know, maybe you could say something. Maybe you can't crack the whole thing. But maybe you could say something. But I mean, that's exactly, that type of question is exactly why you need to, like, there's no answer to that question. Different people have different things. You have to develop an intuition. When is this too hard for us? When are we in over our heads? Well, you do it enough, you start realizing, well, last time we thought 40 minutes, we thought we were stumped, and then we thought the next day we came back to it, and we had a svara. You know, and you start figuring out what works for you. You know, so I don't know if there's a set rule, but, you know, if you're advancing, I mean, sometimes a svara isn't all in one shot. Sometimes it's piecewise. You take a small step, take another small step. If you keep taking steps in a direction, you're asking another question. Even if you ask a question which shows you that you don't understand it, that's the gain in knowledge. Because sometimes it's because you think you understand something. The question sometimes could lead you. So I'd say as long as you're making progress in one way, either some step towards the thing or a question or a new question, a new perspective, then I think it's usually keep going. But if you realize you're stuck and you're just sitting there twisting, you know, twiddling your thumbs or whatever, they're spinning your wheels and not getting anywhere, then maybe it's too hard of a sugya. That's part of the challenge also. Sometimes, like, I know sometimes I've done sugyas where after doing it for long enough, it's just too hard. Like, I did this years ago with Rabbi Zimmer, we did Ona. At a certain point, it was just too hard for us. We just realized we're not getting anywhere. Whatever, it was just too hard. And we just dropped it and went to a different sugya. So, you know, but then, you know, we haven't gone back to it, but probably at some point in our life, we all, you know, but that's some bad. But that, again, these are things which are personalized. That's my point, is like, it's like you'll say, how do you hit a backhand in tennis? It's like your instructor could show you, and he could show you five different ways, but I'm sure your backhand is not going to be the same as anyone else's. It's like a little different. And you have to kind of figure out on your own what works. And this is what takes all the time and energy, and, you know, you have to practice it. And, you know, like in chess or whatever. It's like I'm not sure you can take this analogy. Yeah, chess. Yeah, I'm talking about tennis, you're thinking about chess. Yeah, but it takes a lot of time, you know. It's not going to just work. If you have lessons, you're going to have to play. You could give a lesson, then you got to play a lesson, you play it, right? And there's a lot of things which your instructor could tell you certain guidelines, but then ultimately your Torah is your Torah, you know? And every person, you know, you say, how do you learn how to learn? I'll tell you from my experiences, learning, having svaras from Rebbe, and from the Rav, and from the Griz, and from Rav Chaim, they're all learning the Brisket Derech, and Rav Pesach, but all their svaras are a little bit different. Different types of svaras, different feel to it. It's like, there's a personalized element now, even though it's like everyone's learning Torah, but you have to be kona your derech and Torah. And you know, it's fortunate that you have different rabbeim that you pick up different things from. But, you know, then you have to see what works with you and your chavrusas, whatever it is, and try to. But it's, you know, it takes time and energy. But to not do it at all, obviously, you know, just because you're not going to have tons of time, don't mean don't do it at all. I think it's, you know, I would think it would be shaykh to set up at least one chavrusa. It could be multiple chavrusas, you know, but at least one chavrusa where you do at least, I don't know, 2-3 hours a week. Or, you know, I think there should be more, but, you know, again, I don't think 1 hour a week, I just don't think it's going to cut it. I just think it's too sparse, you know. But, you know, you have to pick a sukkah, maybe try easy gemara. And you have to, you know, you can pick sukkahs based upon your interest and based upon how much time you have. Yeah. Don't be disheartened. If you try it, it's tough. It's not easy. But it's much, much harder than shiur. But exactly that feeling of tough, imagine you did that, you know, you sit in shiur for 5 years, and then all of a sudden you graduate, and then you have a job, and then you come back home at night, and you say, okay, let's just pick up, and let's just learn. Like, oh my gosh, we don't know what we're doing. Now, how are you going to be able to do that consistently every night after work? Or are you going to realize it's too hard? You're going to get defeated. And then you're not going to know how much is your learning going to be. As opposed to if you spend these years where it's tough, but you're doing it. You're in yeshiva now. So you're doing it, and then it gets easier with time, and then by the time you're ready to go out to work, and then you're able to do it, well, then you'll be in a much more
ready to be able to do it. And you'll be much more likely to be able to keep it up as a part of your life.